He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And I'm going to start off this week's show by discussing insurance and high-tech cars, because there's a headline in one of the periodicals I read saying no discounts for high-tech cars and no insurance discounts for high-tech cars are going to maybe the norm with many of the insurance companies that insure cars, which goes against the grain of all that many of us have come to realize or see in offers from insurance companies in house insurance and also car insurance. You have safe driver discounts, you have alarm discounts, and this is for cars specifically. You have other discounts which may amount to 5 or 10% off your annual insurance cost, the way you do for home ownership. If you get alarms in and all a couple other things, you have smoke detectors and that kind of thing, you get safety discounts. Well, safety discounts may be coming to an end at some levels because of the article I read where the insurance companies are getting smart about what these high-tech items that are going into cars now to make driving safer are doing for the cost of repairs. We've talked on this show before about how these high-tech cars with cameras all over the place, in bumpers, in grills, in the back bumpers, in the back, maybe the back.
So basically it's way more expensive to repair your car.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so the insurance companies are going to withhold at some level additional discounts if you buy one of these new fully tech-laden vehicles. So this is another aspect of buying the newest cars that's going to give people who buy these cars maybe some forethought about where they want to buy.
Well, people who buy these cars have to have a certain amount of money, right?
I read it differently, and I read it diagonally, so you may have a good point, and you may have read it right. The way I was reading the article was, wait, there's not going to be enough accidents anymore with all these safety tech things.
I don't know.
And if we give discounts, we're no longer collecting the premiums we collect.
That's not going to happen.
Have you seen? I've just
what
seen.
Do you mean what's not going to happen?
No.
There's not going to be no accidents. There are not going to be no accidents. There may be fewer, which we all would hope would be the occur. But the accidents that are going to happen with the new cars are going to be so much more costly to repair that is where I read that article, and that's how I reviewed that article in my head.
Well,
it
shows where everyone is when they, and this is the both the benefit and the drawback of, you never know how something is received or read.
Okay, so what is the price of safety? I mean, what are we looking for? Safer driving conditions?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And we'll have safer driving conditions. But we won't it will not eliminate accidents. And
no, but we still want, I think we collectively still want as many safety features or safety enhancements as we can.
There's validity for car discounts for cars that have alarms to hopefully discourage the ability to steal the cars. That has nothing to do with accidents and car repair. What we're talking about here is that they're drawing the line at the levels of safety at which they're going to stop giving additional
discounts. We could all be in Congress, because this is also the security conversation that's taking place, just in terms of, well, if we ban this, then therefore this is banned all the way. You can't necessarily cherry pick your...
I'm not trying to. Just
not saying you are. I'm saying one...
Which leads me into CPOs as being the hot... the hot option in buying cars.
What is a CPO?
Certified pre-owned, which is multiple and multi-year older cars, anywhere from 3 years older until.
It could be 6 months. I mean, it's actually not.
Exactly.
It's a wide range.
It could be loaners that the dealers give you, and they put 3,000 miles on them as courtesy cars, and then they put them out to sell, and they can sell them as pre-owned. So it could be this year's model, too.
Or short-term lease that they put back
in the market. In any event, they are significantly cheaper in many cases than buying the same car new, and you're getting often a better warranty if they have actually had the car titled and put on the road as pre-owned, so they can call it pre-owned and give you the 100,000-mile, 6-year warranty instead of the 3-year 3-year, 50,000-mile warranty on most of the new cars today. Some of them are 3-year, 36. And this leads me into the VW warranty, because VW, to make their comeback after the diesel debacle and their sales plummeted, have been offering all their vehicles in all lineups, gasoline or diesel or whatever they have, with 6-year, 72,000-mile warranties. That, folks, is ending with the 2020 model year, I read this morning. They're going to go drop it to 4-year and 50,000 miles.
Which is stupid.
Hyundai and Kia, to their credit, have maintained the 10-year, 120,000-mile or 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and 7-year warranties on their cars since inception, and they are still offering it. And why this VW is going to instead give you 2 years of complimentary maintenance in place of the extra 2 years and 22,000 or whatever the miles.
What is the definition of complimentary maintenance?
Free oil changes. Usually amounting to every 10,000 miles, which in many cases would limit them to 2 or 3.
And what if you move? There are so many.
They move. It doesn't matter if you move, because the VW dealer gives you the warranty no matter where the VW dealer is. But it's a lot cheaper for them. The oil changes are basically until you get to a major service interval, as they try to get you to in their booklets. Oil, lube, and filter change, which probably costs mostly between synthetic and regular oil, between $49.95 and $79.95.
So they're taking it to 48. They don't really expect the car to break down until 72. Is that the deal?
Well, we hope the car won't, because they've been warranting them until 72. So do you think they're going to get cheaper? You mean they're going to do something and the engines aren't going to last
long? By 70, I think that
they are putting cheaper models on the road, but that's not
They are putting cheaper models on the road, but the warranties are the same through 2019 or maybe it's 2021.
And for all we know, 2020 has already started.
VW Adjust warranty adds money for ads. You know, the warranty goes down for the consumer. They'll probably be fairly reliable, because as Jay and I have both been saying, the cars today are built better than ever before, and they will go probably 200,000 miles before they really start wearing parts and all that kind of thing. And none of the warranties take you to 200,000 miles, except that dealers are offering lifetime warranties on some of their cars, which means they're probably buying warranty plan insurance.
Of course they are, yeah.
In order to risk that factor. That's just
another form of insurance.
It's a form of getting dealer loyalty to the dealer, too.
They can't get a discount.
This isn't just VW we're talking about. We're talking about lifetime warranties for Hyundais, Kias, and other brands. And
I have one on my Subaru. It was transferable. I bought my Subaru from a private owner.
A lifetime warranty.
And I have a lifetime warranty, and I read the document, and it was transferable, so I still have the Subaru, and
that's a powerful warranty. And as I said on a few shows earlier, I bought a lifetime warranty for my 2015 Jeep Cherokee, which goes to 999,000 miles. 999, that's what they say. It's a joke. Who's going to go a million miles in a Jeep Cherokee? Or to the year 2099.
Not you.
But it comes with a $100 deductible. I don't know whether you've got a deductible on yours or not.
I don't even know. I mean, the policy was in the glove compartment when I bought the car, and I go, okay.
Yeah. Well, I've got 62,000 miles on the
It looks a little shady, to be honest. But
all right, so the pre-owned, by the way, going back to pre-owned for a second, it seems a bit like a no-brainer, simply because—
It is a no-brainer. Yeah, the cars are fine. I look at them all the time, and if you buy a one-year-old car with 15,000 miles or less, you are going to be looking at a discount versus a new car.
20%?
Up to 35%, depending on the car.
That's real money.
That's real money. And you can buy, and you have a nice car, and you have, like Robin mentioned, extended warranties. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Well, the car prices are going up also with all this tech, and so it's even more of a no-brainer, I think, especially if you get one of these newer cars with all the tech in it, and you save anywhere up to 30% or thereabouts for that kind of purchase.
And also for those of us who pay taxes, it matters as well.
It matters. Yes, all that, as we have said, for those towns in where they charge you motor vehicle tax, it can save you a lot of money annually over a brand new car, which depreciates also, but not as fast
as quickly
as pre-owned.
Your rust bucket, for example.
Jay, what do you have to say? You've been driving a lot in the last few days. Anything to note about highway driving and people driving at all?
I can say on the air?
No. It has been sub. I just am amazed, and this takes me back. I know you didn't ask me, you asked Jay, but the whole tech in cars thing, I think that there should be sort of an electric shock therapy device, in fact, for drivers to alert them to the fact that they need to have their eyes open.
Subaru has that.
Good.
Yeah, that's called EyeSight, isn't it?
No, that's different.
And then maybe some knives could come out of the back.
They do have vibrating steering wheels if you lose touch.
A little past the vibrating steering wheel, and okay. I'm more
anger issues.
No, I have wake up issues.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying that
that's his form of anger issues.
You think?
Yeah.
You know, I was just trying to safely get from Sharon to Falls Village.
Today?
No, the other day, and. This is one of the tree people again. But, the guy's got his sign sort of stuck on. He's looking up at the guy. And
there is no standard of operation for these guys that are doing traffic control.
I'm not even talking about standard of operation or control. Well, and this is
they shouldn't be allowed to use their cell phones while on duty. If you really want me to take your step, your idea a step further?
Tell us how you really feel.
But what I'm trying to say is that you need that alertness that we are complaining about, that lack of alertness in the average driver, and I'm seeing more and more people who just aren't even looking at any. Driving has become, I'm not sure what, and that's all I'm talking about in terms of tech and
cars. I could not agree more.
And I just think it's totally irresponsible, and I think people need
to
grow
up. We're now being categorized, the older generation is being categorized as being more difficult to take on the new tech in the cars than the younger generation. And that was another article I read.
Bullhooey.
And, I will tell you that there are people out there who are very happy to have a car without all of the newest tech that's now mostly installed as standard equipment at certainly the mid-level cars and up and rapidly coming down to the...
Well, it can be for different reasons. They can
yes.
be, yeah. There are a million...
They can be lazy... Or they can be really or just enjoy every facet.
Well, and not have to move their neck.
What they're saying is that the touchscreen way of using of operating your car is more difficult for the senior generation, shall I say, than it apparently is for
the. It's as bad as the touchscreen at McDonald's.
Oh, absolutely! Don't get me going on that. We're not talking about McDonald's and eating, but you are correct. You know. Let's not go
And it's
there.
Disgusting.
Our show is not about eating at McDonald's and touchscreen mania.
But the point being that you don't quite know what you're going to get.
But you were asking me if I had anything. Yeah, I actually drove something really cool this weekend.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to say that I beat you to it, but I drove a Hyundai Kona full electric.
Oh, I've been trying to get hold of one, and there's one in Lakeville, and I haven't gotten the woman to bring her down for me to drive. How was it?
I didn't ask. I just said, I'm driving this car now.
Did you do an airport run with it?
No. I just I took it for a test drive, and it's a great, great little car. This is it's a compact car.
Bigger than the Bolt, though, right? Is it?
It's comparable to the Bolt when you compare it, I would say, to quote-unquote normal cars with internal combustion engines. It will compare to, an Elantra or a Honda. No, it's smaller than a Honda Civic. It's like a Golf.
It's front-wheel drive, is it?
It's a front-wheel drive.
Yeah. SUV
no,
body?
No, SUV-ish, but not really. Like maybe like a Honda, what is it, HRV?
Yeah.
So it's a Mazda 3, something of that a CX-3.
Which is an SUV.
Yeah, they are little SUVs. But it's a front-wheel drive. This model was fully loaded, heated seats, but most importantly at this time of year, ventilated seats.
Around 30,000.
No, it's around 40-ish. I didn't get the exact price. But with adaptive cruise control, a really neat dashboard. You know, some of these electric and hybrid vehicles give you all sorts of information. Sometimes it's a bit overkill. This is really... It's well presented. The car was comfortable. You can fit four adults in it to go out to dinner if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can go on a road trip with four adults, certainly not with luggage. It's fast.
The electrics are pretty quick.
You chirp tires and, I tested it on a hill that's pretty famous around this neck of the woods.
Okay.
And it
Smith Hill?
Zips up
pretty well, doesn't it?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
It also has two paddles, and usually paddles are to upshift or downshift. Here you actually control the amount of rejuvenating that you do.
Braking
okay. When you lift off the accelerator.
So you can actually brake to a stop.
If you put it at level three, you can. I never use the brakes once.
Well, that's like the Tesla Model 3 I drove too. Yeah. I didn't have to use the brakes in the Tesla Model 3, and it brought the car right down to a pretty aggressive stop position, which is actually good. And I think the Tesla has adjustable regenerative braking as well.
It does. Great range, 270-mile range.
That's
good.
People
just have an outlet in the house, and it takes more than overnight for a full charge, is what they tell me.
Yeah, they might upgrade eventually if they get really in it. But if they're basically in at 5 o'clock and out at 10 o'clock in the morning, they've probably got a full charge. Yeah. Correct.
It's a second car. It's a great second car.
Okay,
I'll say it again.
Hear it because I've got people who've been asking me about it, and
All right, and does it? I'm just curious. In the winter, does it take longer to charge or not?
You all electric cars will get less range
in the winter.
In the winter, and I do have a slight concern. I mean, there's a lot of power going through those front wheels, and I think it will take a little time getting used to driving it on slippery surfaces, especially with...
Is there anti-lock traction control in that? You don't really know.
Yeah.
There probably is.
But again, I never use the brakes. You don't need to
use the brakes. You're starting up. You said the power might make the wheels slip because it is...
The tires were chirping.
Yeah, yeah.
The owner is well aware of that. He was sitting next to me.
But he loves it.
Loves the car.
Yeah. And it's got a lifetime battery warranty, incidentally, because all the Hyundai, Kia cars have hybrids have lifetime battery warranties with their cars, whether they be hybrid or they be full electric. And while the battery life has been remarkably long at all car levels, Ford Fusions, Toyota Priuses, and the like, and many people have 160,000 miles on their Priuses or maybe over 100,000 miles on their hybrids, and they have yet to have, there's no regular knowledge about when the batteries might or might not fail, but many people have not had battery replacements. I know a woman who traded her Prius in at 170 for a new Prius, and she had never put a new battery in. So even though the battery warranties are limited on all other Hyundai, Kia models, they are lasting longer than the warranties are giving you the credit for having in case something goes wrong early. So there might be a bad battery pack, the way once in a while you get a bad, badly produced car or a car that has components that seem to fail early on. But, the electrics are coming, Jay, as you've been saying, and they're fun to drive. And when you get up into the 270-mile range, you can go all year long without having to worry about range anxiety not going to go anywhere significant on a daily basis.
I mean, I think the Kona and the...
You can get to Boston and back on that.
Yeah,
you can. Not at 2:30, maybe, with the Bolt.
There's that margin. It's funny. You know, in theory, you can.
Okay. We are rolling right along. What else did you have, Jay? Okay, I'll jump in.
Good, because you're about to do safety tips.
I don't know.
I have maintenance tips.
You got a new
too.
Safety tip. Let's go to maintenance tips, because the safety tips is really just getting
I'm driving
redundant.
My Volkswagen, brake pads wear light went on.
Is it a circle?
No, it's not a circle. It's a red light, and then the brake light, red light goes on, and you'd go.
You should have a wear noise, too.
There's no wear noise.
I know, but there is a wear sensor in the brake.
When you have a wear noise, you know it's time to change the brake.
Well, somebody has a Subaru, and he had a funny noise in his brakes.
That happened to me, too. That's Subaru brakes.
It went by that noise, and he still hasn't put in new brakes.
I'm talking about a real car with real brakes.
You mean a Subaru Forester is not a real car?
Why am I thinking of the Flintstones right now?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
But anyway, so these brakes have brake pads, our original brake pads, 55,000 miles. When I went in at 25,000 miles to have the car serviced, it was suggested to me to change the brake pads. They were getting low. And arguably, and this is, I know the dealer very well, and he's a reputable person, and he actually had me come and look at the brake pads on when the wheels were off. And I said, no, we're going to keep driving it for a while. And I've put on an extra 25,000 miles on it. And now the brake pad light went on, and that tells you that there's 2 millimeters of brake pad left on, which is about 15 to 20% of the brake pad. So arguably, I can probably drive another 5,000 miles, but that light's going to drive me nuts. But my bigger point is
black tape.
Oftentimes, people get taken for a ride, and I see
over-servicing.
Over-servicing. You go in a dealership, and people will get sold on a brake job that costs $400 or $500 for front and or rear. If it's and, it's more than $400 or $500.
Yep.
And a lot of times, you know, yes, your brakes have worn down, but
not that much.
No.
On the other hand, what we do forget to check and replace on a timely basis, I think, is shock absorbers. And bad shocks, I think, are worse than
no brakes.
Not no brakes.
Worn brakes.
But brakes that are only half worn are still working perfectly well. Shocks that are half worn don't do the job quite as well. Bad shocks mean longer braking distances, less grip in turns. Anyway.
I would agree with you because I have a 95 Mustang GT, and I want to tell you the suspension is surprisingly mushy for a Mustang GT level vehicle, but it is 24 years old, and it has only got 28,000 miles on it, but in that 24 years, things have sagged, or the springs have gotten weaker just by doing nothing. The shocks may be bad too. It is not a GT-like ride, which could be merciful in some of the roads around here, but it isn't good when you go over a speed bump and the
car
plummets
down. Put it back in the garage
down.
Or change the shocks?
Well, I should change the shocks and maybe the spring.
What are you going to do?
Since I've only put about 2,000 miles on this car in the last 7 years, I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
There's always the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. You can donate to Robin Hood Radio.
No, it's not going to be donated. It's actually being very much appreciated right now.
Correct.
And I'm glad I didn't sell it a few years ago when I tried to do so. And I fortuitously kept the price higher than anybody wanted to offer me, and now I'm enjoying it a lot. I am noticing the suspension, to Jay's point of suspensions getting tired. Normally you think about it after you've gone 100,000 miles and the shocks do wear and the springs might get a little weaker. But this is a vehicle that sat most of its time, and I'm sure it was stiffer when it was new than it is now. Well, I want to just go briefly about this Ford ad that's on TV about a Ford F-150 diesel towing a train fully laden with F-150 pickup trucks. And I read a story about why it was so easy for that vehicle to do it.
It was going downhill.
No, it wasn't going downhill, but the coefficient, the drag coefficient of steel to steel, which means steel rail cars to steel on steel rails, is very low, and your sedan might be able to do it if as well as a F-150. And it was quite an interesting article. It said if it was on sand or in grass, of course, the truck might not be able to get traction. The wheels might spin because they wouldn't have traction on a tarmac pavement either. But the ad is sort of interesting because it makes it look like the Ford 150 diesel is awesomely strong. And it really isn't. Other vehicles could tow the same train.
Of course, other vehicles can. But I actually think that the Ford F-150 diesel is a really smart vehicle. I mean, it's a not overkill truck.
Nope.
And it's a diesel.
But the Chevy diesel is getting 33 miles per gallon, which is beating the Ford diesel.
Wait, Chevy's making a diesel
did they
forgot to tell people they were making a diesel?
No, it's just coming out. It hasn't actually been produced yet.
Okay. And the Ford Transit Connect
is out. Okay, and he is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Key.